How do you do... I'd like to raise my hand. How do you do that, Ben?
This is The Bi-Coastal Actor, a podcast about being an actor in Los Angeles or Atlanta. I'm Jeff Holbrook, and with me this week and every week is Ben Austin. I'm in Atlanta, and Ben is in L.A. This show is created by Polar Studios, and you can find more shows just like this one over at polarpodcasts.com.
Benjamin, Mr. L.A., how's it going in the land of milk and honey and unemployment and sadness and smog and air quality and movie stars and swimming pools?
Well, you know that we've banned plastic bags, so...
Wait, what?
Did you not know this?
You get no bags.
You shall have
come
no bags.
To Los Angeles, you starving actors. We will give you no bags for your meat, no bags for your pudding, and no bags for your dignity.
When
you sleep under the bridge tonight, waiting for your acting job, it will be without bags.
We're going to talk about auditions and audition preparation and the stuff that you need to do to sort of have your house in order when opportunity in the form of an audition comes a knocking. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, what do you need to do, Jeff?
I'll tell you what you don't need to do. You don't need to get caught with your pants around your ankles and not be prepared, metaphorically speaking. I recently had to turn down an audition for a large red soft drink company here in the town of Atlanta. Because I was not prepared, and it is bothering me every freaking day since it happened. It was a national spot.
We have to talk about this.
Yeah, and actually this does follow up a little bit with what happened with last week's show, where we talked a little bit about the casting sites, and are they good or are they not? I got this audition through a casting site, but also through my agent. Sometimes, you know, your agent will call you or email you directly with an audition, which is usually the case for me. And then sometimes you'll get this little casting notice ping email saying, hey, you've got an audition. Go check your inbox or whatever. For whatever reason, those don't register as high priority in my brain, even though they should. And I was completely overwhelmed with trying to catch up on my day job work, which I was frightfully behind on, and actually trying to do a lot of the show prep to get the show up and running. So it's funny that I would screw up an audition trying to get a show about auditioning or acting off the ground. But bottom line is, it's all my stinking fault because I was not prepared energy-wise and time-wise, and I didn't budget my time correctly to know that, hey, I've got this audition that's due at noon that's national that would pay residuals if you booked it that I was right for, that I had to turn down because I overcommitted in several arenas. Now, that being said, the night before, I also was editing a bunch of voiceover auditions that I got, and it was sort of one of those days where I have a pile of auditions, and in my opinion, I chose the wrong way to allocate my time to get which ones done, so I didn't get the Big Red Soda Company's audition out, which frickin' stinks.
Yeah.
So that's what not to do.
Well, I think it's a, what not to do. I think, yes, in this circumstance, the way that you've described it, it's an example of a lesson learned. I don't want to say it's what not to do, because, I mean...
No, I want to say it's what not to do. Don't freaking do what I did.
But I don't know what to do.
Stay on top of your stuff and manage it. Just don't let your time get away from you.
Well, I know that you're very critical. I know that you're very critical, self-critical. And so that actually is part of what I want to talk about in mm-hmm. preparation. One of the first things that you said was that your energy level was one of the factors. Like, you just weren't prepared. You didn't have the time, the awareness, the ability to focus on this audition to get it out, or to be able to go into it prepared, is what I heard. That's what it seemed like you were saying.
Yeah.
Right. See, yes, you can't do every single audition if you're getting like 15 auditions a day. You just probably aren't going to have the time. But if you do have the time, I think one of the things that you can do for yourself, a favor you can do for yourself to be prepared for any audition at any point, is not freak yourself out, you know? And I know that may not have been the case here, but One of the indicators to me is that the first thing that you said was energy level. Now, I know you, I've worked with you on several projects now, and I know myself, and I know that we both managed to get ourselves tied up in knots over, it's coming, oh, there's so much to do, and I don't know if I want to do it. Oh, God, I want to do it, but there's other things that I should be focusing on, and I'm not focusing on those things. So I'm going to feel really bad about that and work myself up into this emotional state that requires some sort of pressure release. So I'm going to find this thing that I need to do to release the pressure instead of being able to focus on learning my lines or doing character development or getting the beats down for something that may pay me and further my career. I know I do that. I know that it's a thing that I struggle to not do. So how do you do that, Ben? Well, I don't have all the answers.
I'd like to raise my hand. How do you do that, Ben?
I don't have all the answers. I can say what I do for myself, which is, one, I've stopped freaking myself out about not being able to memorize everything perfectly. I know several playwrights, friends of ours, just rolled over in their future graves. And dead playwrights are going, oh my God, you son of a, you're the reason that all of my words, all of my lines are misquoted. There's you and only you to blame. No, sure. We're talking about an audition though, folks. We're not talking about the final product. We're talking about an audition. And what they're looking for is that you come in with the correct intention, the correct idea, the correct look, the feel for the piece. Yes, they want you to get certain words and phrases down perfectly for commercial auditions. You got to know what the thing is called if you're auditioning to sell a thing. If it's called Big Red Soda, you need to remember Big Red Soda, the product name. If there's a specific phrase in this ad, this commercial, that they want to use, a catchphrase, you got to remember that catchphrase. Here's a key. If it shows up more than once, it's probably a catchphrase, right? Big Red Soda is the sodiaist. If that comes up more than once, then that's what they want you to say. They want you to punch that. You need to remember sodaist. Big Red Soda is the sodaist. Work that.
You know,
don't work getting the correct. You know, the is it is or is it was or is it? Oh, I don't know. Don't freak yourself out over that.
See, I gave up on that a long time ago, Ben. Maybe I'm a terrible actor, but I gave up on getting the words perfect, and I focus more on getting the character to exist and getting the intentions to be there. Because I've had things that have gone from audition to booking where the script is very different at the end, or where they're like, "Yeah, kind of just riff and do what you want to here." To me, that goes back to the old saying of, you know, plays are rehearsed and movies are made. That movies can be different from plays in the fashion that you collaborate. So you get on there, and as an actor, sometimes you have more control over the lines than you might do in a play where it's got to be a little more word perfect, because what matters is the immediacy and the truth of the moment. And if the truth of the moment isn't coming by saying those words exactly, be it because of something with the script or just be it because the script can be fantastic, but as an actor, you've dulled your own self because you've memorized it by rote too much and you need to break it up to make it come alive again for the screen. Those are just calls that you make on set.
And I think what you're talking about practically, yes, that happens. And I'd say be prepared for that to be something that happens with some regularity, but don't count on it. Now, what I'm talking about is auditions.
Right.
End product. Let's forget about end product just for today. Let's talk about auditions. End product. Yeah. In a movie, it's more likely that you're going to be ad-libbing than it is in a play. In fact, there are some movies now that are almost entirely ad-lib, and that's a whole style unto itself. But still treat a final product, if it's scripted, like Shakespeare wrote it. You know, try to cherish and honor the words until you are told otherwise, until someone says, okay, look, this is not going to be the final product. Fine. But let's talk about auditions. In auditions, Sometimes you'll get that audition the day of. It's less and less likely now. But some days you get an audition and your agent wants you to be there in an hour and a half or an hour. And, you know, you do your day job, or, you know, you just woke up, or, you know, it takes an hour to get there because you have to deal with LA or Atlanta traffic. So what do? You don't have time to just spend an hour with this piece. You have to get yourself dressed appropriately for this specific audition and get over there. What do? You don't freak out. You don't spend, you know, that hour commute with the script in front of you on the dashboard, because you're going to wreck.
I've got to learn the lines. They've got to be perfect. I've got to get them perfect now. If I don't get them perfect now, I'm going to die.
No, you got to let that go, because you no longer have any control over time. Like, that's just, at that point, it's not about time management. So you let that go.
It's about you management and staying cool and staying calm in the eye of the storm.
Right. Now, I would say that for me is the most important thing about auditioning as far as being prepared. Because, you know, yes, it would be great if you could walk into every single audition and be the most prepared actor that's ever walked the planet. But it's just not going to happen, you know, and a lot of people are going to be understanding of that. How many times do you see an actor there that's got, you know, the proper headshot, the proper resume, they have learned the lines, and they're completely dressed, they look exactly like their headshot, and they're sitting there 15, 30 minutes before their call time for their actual time slot, and they're sitting there and they're sweating bullets. They are so nervous, you know. That you know, they've done everything that they can within their control. Now they're just sitting there freaking themselves out. So I would say it's more important not to be freaked out and to walk in with some confidence. And, you know, even if you're reading from the script, nail that intention, nail that audition, than it is to have everything point by point by point on your checklist exactly to a T and done. I'm not saying throw out all that preparation. I'm just saying give yourself the whatever kind of latitude you need to be able to go in there confidently, casually, comfortably, and present yourself in the best light. Not present yourself as somebody who could turn coal into diamond just by shoving it up your backside.
Right. And I think you're talking about staying cool, staying calm, you know, staying in the center of yourself and being flexible and just whatever the moment's going to bring. And that is a skill that's going to transfer all over the place. Mm-hmm. I had an audition that rapidly became this crazy escalating day of callback, like a year or 2 years ago. I forget when. It was for two. And I had the audition and, you know, and I knew the lines okay for the audition. They weren't super solid. But then I get, I don't know if it was that day or the next day, it was some insanely short amount of time, I get a callback. And so I show up at the callback and I think it was the morning or very early afternoon or something like that. And I do the callback, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go home. And then I get a call back saying, we need you to come back, to come here. They want to see you again. And this rapidly like escalating series of things that ultimately led to me finally being in front of the director of the movie to be seen in person one-on-one. And again, I still didn't have a super solid foundation of the lines in the script, but I felt like a good handle on the character. And you know, and it went fine. And there were lots of people there that were freaking themselves out exactly like you're talking about. And I just, to be honest, I was maybe naive enough to just think it's so much fun and it's so cool just to get to this level of an audition. Like, that was fun, you know, that was new. And I was like, oh, well, this is great. Like, I don't really care if I book it or not. I'm having a great time just being here, getting to play with this audition and getting to, you know, have this kind of face-to-face opportunity with this guy. Ultimately, obviously, I didn't book it, because if I booked it, I'd be talking about it like all the freaking time. But I don't feel like my not booking it had to do with the lines. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I kind of, as soon as I walked in, I knew I didn't book it in a weird way.
Yeah.
Not that it changed my performance, but I just saw the director. I was like, okay. This is, once he sees me in person, this is not exactly what he wanted. And that was fine. It didn't bother me at all. But
what's really fantastic,
if I freaked out, then it would have been a really, really stressful day instead of a really exciting day. And I felt like that was a choice. I could have chosen for it to be super stressful and put me in knots, or I could choose for it to be exciting. And I can look back at it now, and I can look at it as a failure of a job I didn't book, or I can look at it as I had a really great time trying this thing.
And you know? Did actually learn, you came away with both the confidence that, oh, I did make it that to that level. I got in front of the director on this movie and in this casting. That's a great achievement, because, you know, not everybody gets to do that within, you know, this early in their career. Sometimes they can go years without ever getting in front of a director. I'm not saying that's typical. I'm just saying that happens. So you get to come away saying, oh, well, obviously I'm capable of this. Great. What do I keep that I'm doing? And what do I get rid of? And in that situation, I think the only thing that you can really get rid of is, I don't know. You didn't really have time to memorize a line. So get rid of any doubt that you weren't good enough, because you made it that far. If you weren't good enough, you wouldn't have made it that far. At that point, it's about whether the director wants to use you or not, wants to use you specifically.
Right. And as personal as that is, it's actually nothing personal. Ben, I wonder if it's easier to be relaxed about stuff after you have hit certain milestones or after you've done something.
Oh, hell yes.
You know, like if you haven't ever made it to a callback for anything, then I wonder if that puts a lot more pressure on you to get your first callback than if you're going on like your sixth,
yeah,
not consecutive, but like your sixth call, sixth or seventh callback. You know what I mean?
I think it's relative. I think you can say yes, definitely these milestones, like your first callback or your first interview with the director or the producers, the first time you're in the room with those big decision makers. Yeah, those are milestones, and they are going to dictate how you behave in the future towards castings. But I think these things come in waves. So you can go through a sort of a dry spell and you'll start questioning yourself again. The same old questions. I haven't seen a producer in a while. I haven't seen a director in a while. I haven't been to that callback in a while. Oh gosh, what if I'm not good, even though I've already booked this or already booked that or already been in front of this producer, that producer, or casting director? Oh my God, what if it was all a dream? I was wrong. Oh God. That's the danger. That's the slippery slope. I think that's the way in which those milestones don't help, because that's when you need some external touchstone to remind you, oh yeah, that's right. I've done this already. I've been here before. I've done this exact same doubting dance. I've been to this exact same place before. This is a period that I need to get through, and I need to just keep doing my work. Now, that work is, I think, the preparation that we actually need to talk about for auditioning and for actual production and results sort of stuff. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to ask the question of, do you have problems in L.A. with people not bringing their headshots,
yes,
or resumes?
Yes and yes.
Really?
Yes and yes.
I'm surprised, because we have that problem here. And I
Why
thought
would you be surprised?
That was just, I don't know. I just thought that maybe that was showing that we were a little green over here.
No, Jeff, there's people that are green everywhere. I mean, the green and also just like, oh, wow. You would be surprised. You would really be surprised. I think if you took a lot of the people that we know personally, from Georgia and from our background, and plop them right down in the middle of the LA casting scene, you'd find that a lot of casting directors would just be thrilled at how prepared and professional those people are. Of course, if you took some of the LA actors out here and threw them into the Atlanta casting scene, you'd find that they fit right in with people who are not prepared. You've got the same types in both places. You've got uber prepared, You've got Kim incredibly underprepared and green, and you've got people who are somewhere in between. It's just you got a lot more of all of those things here.
No two people are alike. No two journeys are going to be the same. And all that really matters, I've discovered, is what can you do when you get in the room? It doesn't matter how much school you've had. It doesn't matter, you know, how many workshops you've taken, whatever. What can you do when you get in the room?
Let me ask you this. Have you ever been cast without auditioning?
Yes, but not for film TV projects. I don't know if it really counts.
Have you ever been asked to audition for something without submitting for a TV film project?
Yes, Big Red Soda Company and the thing, yeah.
Okay, so all I'm going to say is that the process is just there to give us a guideline. These rules and these regulations and the process is just a guideline. And if you find yourself in a position where you're working outside of those guidelines and it's working for you, don't beat yourself up. Don't make stress where stress doesn't need to be.
There you go. There you go. Now I think you're really, really on to something. Why invent worry? Why invent neuroses for yourself? Things are hard enough.
It doesn't validate your process to be a struggling artist. Ugh. No, don't create that. Yeah, don't create that stress where you don't need it, where it's not necessary. There's going to be plenty of external stressors, plenty of things that are real and tangible that will cause stress in this process.
So let's pull back a little bit now. Let's think about real, tangible kind of, you know, tips and tools and stuff that will help you. I think we've got a lot of ground on the mental energy part.
I'm just going to start listing things.
Go for it. Go for it.
Don't just get one stapler. Get three or four and keep them in different places. Jeff is showing me his multiple staplers right now. And stay stocked up on staples and stash them as well. Yep. Same thing, headshots and resumes. And do update your resumes, but don't spend every day going over it. Please, please. You're going to go blind staring at a computer screen if you do that. So those are a couple of things right off the top of my head. You know, keep those things around because you never know when you're going to have to readjust and take your resume off and reattach a new one or whatever. Get a couple of pairs of scissors and keep them too, because guess what? The headshot should be 8x10. The printer paper is going to be 8.5x11. You're going to have to trim that thing down. Yeah, what else, Jeff?
I would say if you don't have a smartphone, hey, that's fine. If you don't have a smartphone, go get a GPS. Either way, map out where you're going before it is crucial. Map out where you're going with enough time to understand how to get there. And if you're not used to using some of the tools, like if you're not used to using your GPS, go ahead and figure that out, because you don't want to have to figure things out when you might be in a high-pressure situation. You want to take as much of the work off of you as you can before it matters.
And here's the thing. If you don't have, for whatever reason, you can't afford it, is probably the most common, GPS or a smartphone. If you can go to the library, if you have internet access, if you can go to the library if you don't have it at your home, and look up the address of the place that you're going and print that thing out. And
go there. You know, go there if you have enough time.
You can go there the day before. Please do that. Go scout that place out. And I'm not saying go in and like, don't be creepy, but know your route.
Know your route and figure out where you're going to park. Take your best guess. Figure out if it's going to cost you to park there. Figure out if it's a two-hour time limit. You know, those kinds of recon.
The things that are going to save you stress later. The things that are going to keep you from going, oh, God, I don't know where I'm going and I don't know where to park. Oh, God, it's $2 to park for 2 hours and I don't have any cash on me and they don't have a credit card machine. Like, they don't have the slot on their toll. Oh, God, what do I do? Well, you know, keep quarters in your car. Always have a couple of dollar bills and find where this place is before.
Oh, I always have a couple of dollar bills, Benjamin.
I don't know what that means.
You know.
No, I don't.
You know.
I don't know what that means.
On the main stage. Nobody, because I don't go to those places. I don't. If Sarah is listening, I don't. What else, Ben? What else you got? Practical tips and tricks before we close this body up.
There's all kinds of workshops for audition techniques, and I would say find the one that makes the most sense to you, where you're comfortable and you feel like you'll actually be able to learn something, and take that class. But there are some very basic things, like if you can get a hard copy of the audition, get the hard copy. I think some casting directors love when you walk in and you're technologically advanced and you've got everything right there on your iPad or your iPhone or your whatever. And I think that some find it pretentious and annoying, and they don't want you carrying that thing around. And I think a lot of them want you to be off book. But I'll tell you a little secret. You ready for the secret? So the secret is that really what they want is for you to be present. They don't really, if you're present enough that you can have that thing in your hand and go to it for a line, but then you're right back in. You never actually leave the scene. You're always there, and that piece of paper is just a piece of paper in your hand. It's not your lifeline to the scene. That's what they actually want. They won't even remember that you weren't off book. Probably somebody out there is gonna disagree with me, but you know what? Then we'll just have to agree to disagree, because most of the casting directors that I've met don't care about that much. My one experience that kind of drove this home for me was actually a situation in which I was told to memorize, but I got the thing, you know, a couple hours before and came in with the piece of paper in hand. And this casting director is a big casting director in Atlanta, actually. So I did the scene once, and she said, okay, I need you to try to not be in your script. I need you to have these lines, because I need to know that you have the lines. And I couldn't help myself. I said, oh, yeah, I've got them pretty good, but I just got it just a couple hours ago. And she said, honey, we all just got it a couple hours ago. I need you to be off book. Yeah, my jaw dropped.
What do you do with that?
You get the hell off book right then and there. And here's what I did. I held it in my hand. I stopped freaking out. In that moment, it became apparent to me that this was a defining moment for me and this casting director. This was a make or break. I stopped looking at the paper, and I just listened to what she was saying. And I had gone over the script enough to know the content of the scene. And I just said what I remembered the lines to be, without breaking, without freaking out. And she afterwards looked at me, gave me the little nod with the little, you know, that pursed mouth look that you get that says, okay, good job. That's what I got. And it's all right. Good job. Well done. Because I took the damn direction and I stayed in the scene and I still had that piece of paper in my hand. And if I needed it, it was there. I could have gone to it. If I just couldn't summon up an ad lib, couldn't summon up a line. But I let it go and just tried to remember what the hell the scene was about and did that. And because I did that and I didn't get the part and I didn't get the lines exactly right and I didn't get this job, but because I did do that, I got called in by that same casting director two more times. And then the third time I booked a feature. So, I mean, that's the real lesson. You may not get the audition you're going for. You may get the audition that's two auditions down the road, which you are able to prepare, which the one that I got was a one-liner. The one that I didn't get, you know, was two or three lines in a TV spot. The one that I got was a feature, like a pretty decent-sized feature, which made me eligible for SAG and got me a bigger paycheck, honestly. I know that's a... I'm trying to quantify it right now, but I'm saying this little thing, this little being able to take that direction, had her call me back for two other projects. Both of the other ones were features. And I'll tell you what, Jeff, here's a fun little, the second one, the next time she called me in for one part, had me read it and then handed me another part, a totally new script, had never seen it before. Handed that one to me and said, hey, I just need you to go out in the hall, look this over, do the best that you can, come back in, I want you to read for this one. And it was a bigger part in the same movie. And I had no way of preparing, you know? I had 15 minutes, and that was it. And because I had had that experience with her, I knew she was going to want me to be off the page. She needed to see my eyes, and she needed for me to be in the scene with her. That's the lesson, I think, is you're never going to really be totally prepared because you can't control the situation. You don't know what's going to happen when you get in there. Stop trying to control that. I mean, that's what I think.
I think to sum up this episode and auditions, I would like to use the words of Douglas Adams and say, don't panic. We'll talk more about auditions and auditioning and some other things perhaps next week, perhaps the week after. We've got two more episodes this season. This is number 4. We're going to do 6 episodes this season. Then we're going to take a little break and probably come back. In the meantime, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I am at Jeff Holbrook, J-E-F-H-O-L-B-R-O-O-K. And you can follow Ben. He is at Ben Austin 101. That's B-E-N-A-U-S-T-E-N 101. The numbers. If you like the show, please rate it on iTunes. That is the thing that will help us the most with getting listeners. And if you didn't like the show, then I encourage you to go to polarpodcast.com and find something that you do like. All right, Ben.
Jeffrey. I am.
2 more to go.
Oh, what? 2 more? Right now?
2 more to go.
We can't do it right now.
Yeah, we're going to do them right now.
But
we're going to do right now.
I have a
what?
Thing.
You have a thing?
I have a thing.
Okay. All right, what is it?
I'd rather not say.
All right. Benjamin, I have been and always shall be your friend.
Ooh, Spock got a little croaky there.